In this episode, we discuss Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, because the Brothers Grimm was such a success. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Stuart Wellington.
Hey everybody, greetings and welcome to the Flophouse.
I thought you were going
to
say
please
Greedo.
Please take off your shoes. Yeah, Greedo, welcome to the Flophouse. This unit is Elliot Kalin.
Yeah. No blasters, etc.
Yeah, it's totally...
etc.
Yes anded me. You mirrored my energy and you took it... to another place.
That's because, Dan, you and I are two sides of the same coin.
What?
I'm your shadowy twin. You're double.
No. Wait, you're the shadowy twin?
Kent, yeah.
Yeah, he's the Clark Kent to your Superman.
Of the two of us, I mean, like, I think we're both pretty decent guys, but I feel like you are a shade decenter than me.
I don't know about that. I think I'm less decent.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you aren't wearing anything, so you are very indecent right now.
Yep. I'm going to make an indecent proposal.
Okay, what is it?
That's a movie.
I don't know.
Come
maybe
on.
Something with we could go eat at a diner and then leave without paying the check.
That is very indecent. A decent person would not do that.
No, they would not even propose that.
Dan's loving this.
So what do we do here? What is this that we're listening to?
This is a podcast. So that's number one.
Okay.
On the list.
Okay, so it's like a radio show on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you downloaded it.
It's like a movie in your mind.
You downloaded
it. Probably made a mistake, accidentally downloaded it.
iPhone, your iPod, your Zune.
You made the mistake of listening to
Zune.
Parade Magazine and downloaded these three cackling morons.
So there's that.
Probably loaded up your pod, sat down on the beach.
Your pod? Oh, iPod, yeah.
Yeah. So once we've established that this is a podcast.
And what do we do on this
secondarily,
podcast?
Secondarily, what we do on this podcast.
Daniel McKay.
Is what? No, wrong.
What?
Is that we watch a movie and then we talk about it.
But we don't do the movie part on the podcast. We already did that.
We watched it. We watched it already. A bad movie. A bad movie, usually.
And what did we watch?
Tonight we watched a little movie called Hansel and Gretel, : Witch Hunters.
Wait, they hunt colon witches? Like a witch that lives in your colon?
Go to your doctor. Get yourself checked for colon witches.
Hey guys, before we get into the movie,
can check yourself
I have
for
previous
colon
business,
witches.
Okay?
Wait,
I'd like to start.
It's not on the agenda.
We already finished old business. We're into new business now.
I'd like to set some house rules, if you will.
Okay.
After watching Marmaduke or Marma Puke, as I call it, or Marma Bleck, depending on if Mad Magazine will give me money for it.
Or Marmite Duke, depending on whether it's Australia.
I would like to say that unless we watch another movie about giant dogs, no one's allowed to say doghouse, who let the dogs out, or blank blank to the dogs.
All right. I mean, I don't know that we needed to
what
establish
if,
those
what if the
rules,
dogs do something great and I want to toast them? I can't lift up my champagne flute and say, to the dogs!
I guess that's okay, but you can't do that on the air or in the house. It'd have to be in someone else's
in
house.
In the doghouse?
Wait, no.
Sounds like dogs are really in the doghouse. Sounds like Stuart's really going to the dogs.
See, no, wait.
Woof, woof.
This is all falling to pieces.
Uh-oh, Stuart's quite barking mad.
He's barking up the wrong tree.
I didn't even say you couldn't say those things. So those are my humble requests. We'll just put that down in the house rules agreement.
The doghouse rules?
Have, wait, no.
Oh, the cider house rules.
Do you guys have any rules? Anything?
Shirt, no shoes,
twice.
No service.
I would love to make a rule that we start talking about the fucking movie we watched tonight.
Okay, let's note that. Dan, put that in the notes.
All right.
So are we gonna? Can I get a second on that rule?
Nope.
We'll get to that.
I would like to submit a motion that we start talking about the movie.
Motion
movie
carried.
Watch?
Motion carried. Great. So we watched a movie. Dan, what was the title?
I said it already. It's Hansel and Gretel: Witch Hunters.
Only.
I keep wanting to say
I like
ghost
that one a
little bit.
Ghost Hunters would be great. Yeah.
Because it takes a classic story
you and
of
I
Hansel
very
and Gretel.
Briefly, were ghost hunters.
Yeah, that's true. Look it up.
Look it up
Google
on YouTube.
It.
Ghost Hunters. Anyway, Hansel and Gretel: Ghost Hunters 3D. But we didn't watch it in 3D.
No. Did we watch the extreme version?
I'm not sure. Reading about there are two different versions of this movie.
I did not see any Mountain Dew. I did not see any snowboarding. Snowboards.
Skateboarding is not extreme, Dan. That's just treme at best.
Okay.
Snowboarding is extreme.
What about rocket skateboarding?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Like Rocket Racer would have?
Yeah.
We didn't see any of Xtreme, also known as Adam X, the third Summers brother. It's an X-Men reference.
There was no Vin Diesel as Triple X, the most extreme secret agent there is.
Or wasn't Ice Cube one of the Triple X's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was second
Triple
X.
State of the Union.
He was State of the Union, wasn't he? Anyway, Witch Hunters, let's talk about it, shall we?
So it takes the popular story of Hansel and Gretel and turns it on its ear.
Makes it an action farce. It's part of this current trend of fairy tale movies that have been, you know, darkened up, had
such
a twist
as?
Put on them. Such as, you know, your Snow White and the Huntsman's,
okay,
your Jack and the Giant whatevers, your, you know, Berenstain Three Bears and the Goldilocks
sure,
Killers.
Country Bears movie.
Your,
Country Bears Jimborees.
Your, you know, Little Red Riding Slayer. Your, well, Red Riding Hood,
what?
Whatever the one we watched was. Remember the Little Red Riding Hood?
Oh,
we watched,
yeah, yeah,
with,
yeah,
the metal elephant that Gary Oldman put people in and they got, yep, steamed to death? Gary Oldman's best ever line reading where a guy asked if he could touch his sword and he went, no, as he looked away. So this is in that run of fairy public domain characters that they already have a name value that audiences recognize, but the studio doesn't have to pay anybody for the rights because who's going to sue them? The Grimm brothers? Come on. They,
yeah,
died like 800,000
totally
years ago. They were killed by witches or something.
Unless you want to make a movie where the brothers Grimm were like mummies and were killing
mummies?
People who were using their intellectual property.
Why would they be mummies?
Why not, dude? Are there a lot of other mummy movies out there?
Yeah,
Brendan Fraser going to come kill me?
There's The Mummy, there's The Mummy 3D, and there's The Mummy 5D through the Portal of Time. Anyway, Hansel and Gretel, Ghost Witch Hunters. Rated R.
There's Mummy Dearest.
It was rated R, right?
I think this version was. They said fuck multiple times, so
there
I assume.
A nude scene, come on.
And there was a lot of blood.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But there's two versions of this movie. There's the regular version and the extreme version. And I'm not sure which one we watched, because it was pretty gory.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a scene described in the extreme version in the Wikipedia entry that I don't remember from it. So let's talk about the scenes that were in it, shall we? Let's talk about the plot. We begin our movie in media res, as young Hansel and Gretel are being led into the woods by their papa to be abandoned. Why?
Origin story.
We don't know. But they come upon a house made out of candy. They start eating it. The door opens. They go inside. Uh-oh, there's a witch in there.
Mm-hmm.
The witch captures them, is forcing Hansel to eat candy, I guess to fatten him up, even though you really want to feed the kids, like, grass, something organic.
Look, I'm not, I just
free of antibiotics.
I want to take a moment and say, like,
they're not
gonna
I'm put
not
on
saying,
that much mass from just candy.
I'm not saying that if I came across a house made of candy, I wouldn't eat a little bit of it. At the same time, that house is just, like, out in the woods. Like, you gotta expect, like, twigs and shit are stuck to that candy house.
Oh, it must smell terrible.
Yeah,
it's like
bird shit is all over
it's
that
like
house.
When you see a guy jogging around the streets of New York with his shirt off. Like, you don't want to touch that guy. He's all sweaty.
Yeah. It might as well.
You don't put that in your mouth.
Like, this story might as well have understand. Started with, like, Hansel and Gretel seeing a lollipop in the gutter and picking it up and eating
well,
it.
To be fair, they were two children who had been abandoned and were very hungry, so they may
yeah.
have eaten a lollipop out of the gutter.
True.
I guess,
they
Dan,
cut
what,
that scene, probably.
What you're saying is you've never truly known hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Your
I
privileged
have been.
First world existence.
Yeah.
You've never been abandoned by your parents in the woods, only to find a candy witch house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Fairy tale people problems is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. long story short, they manage to escape, and they kill the witch by shoving her in the fire. It's the Hansel and Gretel
Spoiler
story
alert.
We yeah. all know and love. Now, years later, as the movie Chiron tells us, many years later, they are professional witch
After
hunters.
After a lengthy credit sequence.
There's a lengthy credit sequence. It's all animated, in which we see headlines from, I guess, like a 16th century newspaper
yeah.
that is announcing the various career escapades of Hansel and Gretel, the famous witch hunters.
That's to tell us, the viewer, that the movie doesn't take itself
mm-hmm.
too seriously.
It's got its tongue planted firmly in cheek.
So far in its cheek that it actually went around to the other cheek.
Yeah.
And the tongue tied itself up in knots, and then it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
It's like a self-French kiss.
What? Yeah, exactly. A self-French kiss. Otherwise known as Dan's whole middle school years. Boom! Anyway.
Cue high-five sound effect.
And play it. And Dan, just edit in the high-five sound effect
right.
later. So, but I mean,
you guys are right across the table from each other.
We're lazy. There was something about this headline montage that I liked at first because it's such a goofy idea. And this movie is full of goofy ideas. This is
you wanted it to be more like Johnny Dangerously or something, though, right?
I didn't want it that goofy.
Wait a minute.
I wanted to, because I didn't want to see like a parody. I wanted to see like a silly action movie. Did we get it? Well, we'll find out. 15 years later, Hansel and Gretel are famous witch hunters, and they go to a town where they interrupt the sheriff, played by Peter Stormare.
Always great.
Peter Stormare at his loudest and somehow laziest at the same time.
And mustachioed.
There's something about his performance in this where he uses probably three times as much energy as he used in Fargo and delivers one-tenth the performance.
Yeah.
But, anyway, he's the only guy I know who has to use more energy to phone in something. But they're in the middle of trying to execute Mina, a young woman accused of witchcraft. But the siblings interrupt.
Played by Misty Monday.
No, played by, I think, a Norwegian actress.
No, that's too bad.
You wanted it to be Misty Monday.
Yeah, I just kind of squinted a little bit.
And like Misty Monday, spoiler alert, you see her butt later.
And the IMDb page for Misty Monday, when it says best known for, it just says her butt underneath.
That's, I haven't checked, but I would believe that.
I think Dan's the reigning sexpert on Misty Monday out of the
film. Aaron Brown? Real name Aaron Brown? Sure.
I don't want to know that you know that.
Legitimate roles in Lucky McKee's Sick Girl episode of Masters of Horror?
Okay, I'm sorry I brought this up.
Okay, anyway. So they stop the sheriff from killing this woman that he says is a witch, but they say she doesn't show the signs of being a witch. She's not rotted on the inside and all evil-looking and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. The witches in this movie, they're basically just vampires with a little bit of modern zombie thrown in. Like, they got monster faces. They move really fast. They know kung fu.
Red eyes.
They run on all fours. They got red. Well, except the
like
lead
a monster
blue
face
eyes.
Like David Boreanaz and Angel.
I guess like a monster face like one the cat the, people in Sleepwalkers.
Okay,
one of the ladies has hedgehog hair, which makes her kind of look like Pinhead.
A little bit, yeah. She also kind of looks like polystyrene from the X-ray specs. Yeah. But when we say witches, it's a thing that you are born to be. Like, you're genetically a witch, I guess, which is not really my understanding of witches, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, they basically, it's whatever witch mythos they want to.
And this is something that has frustrated me that I was complaining to Stuart about, is that all these monsters, zombies, witches, vampires, werewolves, they used to have different things, like strengths, weaknesses, flavor profiles, if you will. But they've all just kind of been mishmashed into one basic monster that they just call whatever, you know.
Like, somewhere along the line, someone decided that the scariest thing a monster could be is, like, feral. And so, like, they all just, like,
super
turn
fast
into, like,
or
crazy, they, like, whirling dervishes of killing.
Yeah. Which is scary, but it's, like...
But it's one type of scary.
It's a very one-note scary. But anyway, we're barely into the movie. Hansel and Gretel are there. They save the woman from being killed. The sheriff doesn't like it. But Gretel... headbutts him in the nose and breaks his nose, which means that Peter Stormare, for most of the rest of the movie, wears this bizarre...
Like a leather nose patch.
It's like a leather nose sling patch with a band that goes around his head, and it looks almost like he has a sleep... Like those sleep blindfolds people wear on planes, but for his nose. Like, I'll just let my nose rest. Like, I don't want my nose to be disturbed by all the sunlight.
Someone involved in the production saw Chinatown and was like, give me a steampunk version of that.
Yeah, exactly. The mayor has hired them for this town because there's a lot of children that have gone missing. They're going to investigate. And there's also a plucky young guy who's a huge Hansel and Gretel fan who has a scrapbook of all their escapades and is tagging along, kind of irritating them a little
bit. That'd be the Elliot character of the movie, right?
Oh, for sure.
I would be Gretel, of course, because I'm
pretty much
a badass.
Because you're the babe, yeah. And Dan would be, I guess, the troll who comes up later. Or maybe one of the kidnapped children.
So close to being Jeremy Renner.
You'll never be Jeremy Renner. But you may be
you
like...
You can be Michael Rooker, a.k.a. the troll.
Do you want to be Jeremy Renner in this? Because it turns out, after eating all that candy as a kid, he has diabetes. And he has to take insulin shots every day.
Yeah, hold on.
Wait, are you just making a joke?
No,
that sounds ridiculous.
Let's establish another thing about this movie. It is a... steampunk film. Mm-hmm. And here, this movie, okay.
You love that shit, dude.
I don't. Let's just say one thing. If this movie had come out 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have, I think, really liked it a lot. Spoiler alert. Because it's a goofy, silly movie. and it's got like monsters and steampunk and whatever.
Yeah, it's got crazy. It's got monsters and plus crazy anachronisms.
They have all these like very modern looking guns that have a bunch of cogs and gears and shit on them because mm-hmm. it's steampunk. He has a steampunk wristwatch. Yeah. There's a steampunk record player later on.
And Jeremy Renner has the sugar disease.
The sugar disease,
where
they
he
call
has
it.
To like inject himself with medicine. Apparently, they had insulin back in Hansel and Gretel
times. I want to believe
times.
That they like ground up a root or something like that and made a mixture out of it because
my uncle lost his legs to the sugar disease, so I don't find that very funny, guys.
Sorry, Stuart.
He just really liked the song "Sugar Do 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 Honey Hundy."
Wait, you what? Like,
Honey Hundy, seen a $100 bill.
Make fun of him. Make fun of him for saying that weird
Candy Girl is the song.
Wait, what?
He was so into listening to Candy Girl
by the Archies.
Yeah, walking down the street that he didn't notice that he walked out into traffic.
Yeah, he danced his little toes off.
Anyway, but here's the thing.
Toesies.
If this had been a new idea, I would have said, what a cool movie. But this movie is coming at the end of this long run of like, everything's an action movie now.
Yeah,
everyone does steampunk
stuff.
Yeah,
fucking Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, basically. And like, if Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter had come out 10 years ago, 15 years ago, oh, what a cool idea. But now everything's mash-em-ups and anachronisms and steampunk and what have you. Ah, these kids with the cogs and everything. Mm-hmm. Putting the goggles on the hats and all that.
So now the fucking most, like, I feel like cutting-edge thing you could do would be a totally realistic action movie where, like, everything has human consequences.
Without any irony or...
Like the Expendables.
Yeah, exactly. Really human, like the Expendables.
Super ironic.
But what it made me think about was, and I talked to you guys a little bit after the movie, is how ahead of its time Army of Darkness was.
Yeah.
That like Army of Darkness is this hugely influential movie when you think about it. There's so many movies now that feel patterned after
that.
For a movie
that was an enormous flop.
Was a huge flop, but everyone who saw that as like a teenager is making movies now. And so, like, they noticed that Army of Darkness is really good. And this movie...
At least that had internal logic where, like, Ash is from the future.
So he knows how to make a robot hand.
Yeah, which
even
is
future
crazy.
People don't know how to make robot hands, Dave.
No, it's a crazy fucking joke, but at least, like, not everyone in the movie is walking around with robot hands and sawed-off shotguns. Just one guy.
Yeah, that's true. But everyone in this movie has guns.
Yeah,
including
and robot hands.
Including... No, they don't have robot hands.
Wait a minute.
Only Ash and Lindsay Lohan and I Know Who Killed Me have robot hands. But everyone has guns in this and like revolvers. Like mm-hmm. if only Hansel and Gretel had these machines, maybe it would be one thing. But it seems then it's just Van Helsing with his army, with his laboratory of monster killing
machines.
With a lot
less swinging around on ropes.
Yeah, there's a lot less Castlevania in this than
Van
Helsing.
A lot less Kate Beckinsale in the clouds.
Now, so it's like these there are ideas in here that if this they were new, I'd be really impressed by, but they're not new. And there's nothing in the movie that's as imaginative as like the scene in Army of Darkness where he has to fight all the little ashes that come out of that mirror that he breaks, you know, or anything like that. But anyway, back to the plot. That being said, back to the plot. So the sheriff hires a bunch of goons and says, "You find the witches." They go out in the middle of the night. The lead witch, Famke Janssen, shows up and kills all of them except for one guy, sends that guy back in to deliver a message to the town, which is just that he explodes and gets blood all over Gemma Arterton, who plays, plays Gretel. I should have mentioned...
Or is it Gemma? That's the other thing.
Hansel and Gretel have
whatever
grown up
it is,
to be...
it's not a real name.
Hansel and Gretel have grown up to be Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterban. Gem Arteries. Look,
Arbor Day.
Gem and the
future holograms.
And the holograms, yeah. There's a bunch of... They go back and forth a bunch of
fighting
things.
I want to make a Teddy Grahams joke, but I think it's too late.
Well, we did that the perfect Teddy Grahams joke like 100 episodes ago.
So
the
listen
platonic
to that episode.
Idea of a Teddy Grahams joke has already been...
So Teddy Grahams Artifice and Jeremy Renner are... They're hunting witches. They learn that the witches are preparing for a ritual called the Blood Moon, where they have to sacrifice 6 boys and 6 girls.
Sacrifice moon blood good.
Don't worry, dude. It was still funny.
Nope. Anyway,
halfway through that, I was like, "What's her fake name? What's her fake bullshit name? Is it Moon Bloodgood or Moon Blood Rain?"
Oh, that's a funny name.
Anyway, but the town gets attacked by Famke Janssen and her witch pals. It seems that this
witch posse,
her witch posse, which maybe her daughters, I don't know. It's like 2 younger girl witches, and it seems like this rite is going to make it so that witches can't be burned, because that's the only way to make sure they're dead is to burn them.
I think she explained it, but I wasn't listening.
So there's like, basically, it's the BS time limit that they have to stop the villain by is the blood moon, and the BS thing that they have to stop is that witches will be fireproof, I guess. So mm-hmm. it's basically like, the same thing as if witches
like
had discovered...
Kirk Cameron?
Yeah, exactly. They won't be able to look at internet porn anymore.
Okay.
Just like in the movie Fireproof. The basically... This movie would have the same level of threat as if the witches discovered asbestos and just made suits out of asbestos. Just walked around in them.
Like the guy at the beginning of Lethal Weapon 4?
Something like that. Also, the witches have a troll named Edward who helps them out and is played by a person in an old-fashioned, like, animatronic mask suit. You know?
I mean, there is basically CGI.
There's some CGI for the action scenes, but for the most part, he's just walking around in that suit, looking like the what are they from Fraggle Rock? Those big guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't.
Yeah, he looks like a mixture of Hoggle and Ludo from Labyrinth.
Yeah, let's call him Mahato.
Mahato?
He is Mahato.
There's a bunch of fighting. Lots of stuff has happened. Gretel goes off in the woods. Hansel gets caught in the woods and lost. He gets hurt, and Mina, the girl they saved in the beginning, saves him. It turns out she's
with her business.
She saves him and then has sex with him in a pond. Yeah,
yeah, of course,
yeah.
She does.
There was a surprising nude scene. Like there's a moment where
she starts taking off her dress, and the camera cuts away, and we're like, oh yeah, because it's what, a PG-13 movie, and then it cuts back to her naked, and we're like, wait, what? Hold on.
We all look up.
I think we all like sat up, stood up, yeah. Started giving each other.
We all
did
the movie. We all did the thing that dogs do in movies when they go.
Because I mean, number one, obviously we like naked ladies, but number two, this movie feels
we don't like the bare naked ladies though.
No, never those.
They suck.
If it,
stay in Canada.
There's an like there are exploding heads in this movie, but somehow it still feels super neutered. So the fact
and
that
especially super nude-ered when she takes her dress off.
When she takes her clothes off, it seems like this came in from a totally different movie.
Well,
it,
I think maybe that says
a
something.
A Misty Monday movie.
Maybe it says something about if it was a no. It's way too tame for a Misty Monday movie. If it was a Misty Monday movie, then there would be 10 minutes of poorly simulated lesbian sex.
Yeah, there'd be three of them. Sort of
on a tarp in the woods,
vaguely stuffing their face not into the vagina area, but like kind of above,
like
maybe
the thigh,
a bit.
Belly button area.
Yeah.
So like the like lesbian sex in Orange Is the New Black is what you're saying.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a lot of upper thigh kissing and belly button kissing apparently.
Yeah, basically on tarps.
Yeah, probably.
Because here's the thing about
the belly button is the vagina of the stomach.
Yeah. It's weird. You know, they say that the most underutilized erogenous zone is the belly button. Not true. They
what were you going to say before I said that crazy thing?
I was going to say something about the types of movies that Misty Monday is in, but we don't need to get into that.
All right.
Suffice to say, there's a certain type of low-budget lesbian softcore porn movie where no matter...
Yeah, Google it when you're not at work.
No matter what the plot is, it will end with every female character from the movie in one orgy on a tarp in the woods.
Whether they're on a different planet, whether they're supposed to be...
It
like
could be
in,
Middle Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Ancient Rome. They're going to find a tarp somewhere. Because otherwise it's gross.
Sex tarps are a big industry across the board.
Yeah, throughout history. I'm sure they had them in Hansel and Gretel witch hunter killers. Along with their steampunk guns, they had a steampunk tarp. They could have their steampunk lesbian orgy on with steampunk Missy Monday.
With goggles, probably. Yeah,
everyone's wearing hats with goggles glued on them. And guns with fucking gears on the sides for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, steampunk makes me so mad.
It's a lot of scissoring with cogs involved.
Yeah, a lot of hats with exhaust pipes on them for Lord knows what reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, anyway, Gretel is in the woods.
Welcome, Parade magazine readers.
Yes. Gretel is ambushed by the sheriff's men who... Well, I was going to say, that maybe says something about the double standard in the country that like... This is a movie where people's heads explode a lot. There's a lot of smashed heads, exploded heads, people's viscera bursting out of their bodies. But that didn't seem crazy to us. But when the woman showed her butt, it was like, whoa, this is extreme. What kind of movie is this?
Yeah.
And maybe that says something about our society and how sick it is that the lovely human form, so natural, is considered too dangerous. What we can see guys' heads get crushed and turned into raspberry jam.
Maybe the real monsters are you.
The listener? Yeah. Why don't you call the listeners monsters? What's weird is he held up a mirror in front of our faces.
It's like a Time magazine cover.
You want to see, hey, take a look at the real most dangerous animal on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he held a mirror up to
us. Well, like tigers or sharks?
No. Tiger sharks.
Okay, that's an actual animal. Okay.
It is an actual animal.
It's not a Sharknado type thing.
I'm surprised your minds weren't blown by that, by the way. Your minds seem intact.
Yeah, very
much
so.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a podcast, dude. We're pretty professional.
There's some light wear and tear on my mind.
All right.
But blown, hardly. So Gretel gets attacked by the sheriff's man fairly brutally for a movie like this, but she's saved by Edward the Troll, the witch's sidekick slash helper, who bursts everyone's head with his fists. It's not even like an A-team type thing where he punches a bad guy and the bad guy goes like woo and falls down. Their heads are splattered. They are all dead. It turns out that there's a whole lot of mishigas back and forth. Who knows what?
I think the troll heals her face with some weird white smear he gets from the stream.
Yeah, he uses some folk troll magic medicine. And at the same time, Hansel learns that the girl he had sex with and saved is, is a white witch, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Like Linda.
And it is revealed to us by Famke Janssen, the villain, that the reason Hansel and Gretel were sent into the woods. Now, in the original story, I think it's that their father remarries and their stepmother hates them, right?
Yeah.
Simple. But no, this has got to be related to some stupid fucking prophecy or whatever that, I apologize for my language, but I hate movies with prophecies in them, except for The Prophecy.
Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
Yes.
And you love that one.
Nope. But okay.
What about Watto and Boss Nass?
I love them. Sebulba, best character ever, but still. We've learned that witch magic does not affect Hansel and Gretel.
Witch magic?
Wait a minute.
The magic from witches.
Okay.
Werewolf? Therewolf.
Bear Castle. Why are you talking that way?
Yeah. Copyright Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder. So we learn that witch magic doesn't affect them. It's because their mother, it turns out, was a white witch, a good witch, like Linda, but without the pink bubblegum bubble that she flies around in. And the bad witches need the heart of a good witch to do the blood moon ritual. And they were going to go attack the white witch, the good witch, and take her heart. And so the father took their kids out into the forest because Gretel, by blood, is also a white witch. And so the bad guys, after killing their parents those years ago, are now going to kidnap Gretel and use her heart for the blood moon ritual so they're no longer vulnerable to fire. It's the quest for fireproofing.
Get to the end where all the fucking witches get exploded by the Gatling
okay,
guns.
Well, basically, Hansel goes back. He and the good witch and the guy and the nerdy guy
magic grenades
loves them. He has a wagon full of weapons. She goes, "I'll make a potion that will make it so that weapons hurt witches." And he goes, "Like weapons like these?" And pulls a blanket off of like this huge assortment of weapons. There's grenades. There's a big Gatling gun that apparently weighs an ounce, since he literally just picks it up and casually puts it over his shoulder. They must have another double crossbow like Gretel uses. She uses a double crossbow, which shoots multiple crossbow bolts and also can turn to shoot in different directions. Mm-hmm. It's also
way to ruin the best moment of the movie, Elliot.
Anyway, they gotta go save Gretel, mm-hmm. and so Gretel's,
so a shitload of witches show up. It's like the Mos Eisley Cantina of witches.
It is like the Witch Eisley Cantina. It's like Jabba's Witch Palace.
WitchCon.
WitchCon 97.
Wait, WitchCon?
Dragon Con.
Perfect.
So, anyway, there's a witch battle royale.
There's a whole witch con, and they're going to take it. The blood moon comes
up. It's
like
a regular season of the witch. Copyright Nicolas Cage, I think.
No.
Right.
I mean,
copyright Ron Perlman, then.
It's a regular bed knobs and broomsticks.
Copyright Angela Lansbury.
She wrote that?
Yep.
And owns the rights?
Yeah.
Good murder she wrote, Angela. Murder she wrote that?
Girls doing it for themselves.
Witches are doing it for themselves.
Witches are doing it for themselves. What are they doing? The blood moon ritual. Yeah. So they all show up. There's a witch with a huge goiter. There's an old lady witch. There's a witch with no legs.
There's a Siamese twin witch.
It feels
conjoined
like
twin,
a lot of the character design work went into this scene.
I don't want to offend any witches out there.
Those witches may have been from Siam. We don't know that.
Yeah.
It was called Siam back then. Mm-hmm. Anyway, based on the movie I Am Sam, starring Sean Penn and Dakota Fanning. Now
I Am Siam, where Penn and Fanning were conjoined together.
No, Siam is a country.
And then the legal system tried to pry them apart, And then they were sewn back together at the end.
Siam is not an entire nation of conjoined twins. Haven't you ever seen The King and I?
Anne and the King of Siam, you mean?
Yes, the same thing.
No, I've never seen it.
Oh! Anyway, so... so there's a whole witch coven, if you will. It's
pronounced coven.
Let's just call it what it is. It's a poor man's Walpurgis Nacht. The witch's Sabbath, or Walpurgis Nacht, however you pronounce it. Anyway, so they're there. Hansel comes out. He says,
queer.
Give me one reason I'm not...
I knew you were going to make a joke about that.
Sorry.
Hansel comes out, and he's like, hey, I'm going to shoot all you if you don't let Gretel go. And they go. One goes to attack him, and he blows her head up with his new magic gun. And then the good witch pulls out a Gatling gun from the rock balcony above above the staging area and just shoots up a ton of witches, luckily avoiding shooting the leader bad witch. Because why would you kill her first? She's only the boss of the whole thing.
You gotta save her for the final boss battle.
They kill a bunch of witches. Edward the Troll saves Gretel at the last minute from the bad witch.
I think this is the best moment of the movie. This is the...
More than the girl taking her dress off.
The second best moment of the movie. Where there's like a bunch of witches exploding. And
yeah,
like,
a bunch of crazy different looking witches.
It's action-y.
Stuff's
happening.
It's a
real fast-paced action scene. There's almost no fakey kung fu. Just a lot of gunshots to witches' heads and bellies.
Splitting in half and shooting two different witches.
Flying around on brooms.
Yeah. So,
if you like the idea of watching women get shot off of brooms with magical guns.
Oh, and who wouldn't? And who wouldn't want it? They're not even brooms. They're just tree branches. They just fly on branches.
That's true. You couldn't sweep anything with those things.
Anyway.
You could try, probably.
Keep trying
to finish this movie.
There's a bunch of fighting. Edward the Troll is hurt, and Gretel uses
Does he survive?
Gretel uses a stun gun that we saw them use earlier as a defibrillator. And
a wind-up stun gun.
And with a few pulls of the ripcord, manages to generate enough electricity to restart a troll's heart. the heart must be the size of a basketball. Manages to do it. And you'd think the movie's over, right? No, because
when the troll wakes up, that's the end of the fucking movie.
The old saying, it's not over till the troll wakes up. Because the lead witch, Famke Janssen, leads them on a merry chase back to, the candy house. Earlier, Hansel and Gretel stumbled on their old house when they were kids, and that's where Famke
Janssen is. But this is a different house, right?
But this is the candy house. There is a very long brawl between Hansel and Gretel and the witch.
In a very small room.
Now, here's a movie. This is a witch in a very small room. This is a witch.
A lot of knocking people on the head with...
Let's just say it. Magic powers. Mm-hmm. She has a wand that she's used to make other people shoot themselves in the head earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
She has magic powers of all kinds. So why does she deign to have kind of a barroom brawl fist fight with Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah, it comes down to the witch being hit in the head a lot of times with a shovel.
Hansel is choking her to death with a chain, and then he has.
That's what I like in my heroes.
And then his old
chain choking skills.
His steampunk wristwatch sends off its alarm. Oh no, he's going into insulin shock from the sugar sickness.
Immediately, he's about to die.
Luckily, Gretel injects him with insulin, and he immediately goes from dying to just fine, ready to hit that witch with a shovel a couple more times, and they cut her head off with a shovel.
Which was great.
Sure. And then, end of the movie, right? No. Because now Hansel and Gretel have formed a team with Ed the Troll and with the nerdy guy who was their, biggest fan. Mm-hmm. And you see them walk off into a desert, and it's like, witches, beware. We're coming for you. Bump, bump, bump. The end, right? No. Because they walk up to, a desert castle where there's a witch inside, and we watch them kill another witch. It's the movie that couldn't stop ending.
It cut to black, and then
it starts again.
And this is a movie that's 88 minutes long.
It's the movie that
I'm assuming it's going to turn into a Sliders-style sci-fi hour-long drama.
It feels like... Well, here's the thing.
Although they would totally murder the cast of Sliders, who are probably witches, right?
I have to assume. How else do they slide?
Yeah.
Sliders is about the guys who make tiny hamburgers, right? Where it's I had eight of these and I'm still not really satisfied.
Eats them all, yeah.
So... the ending of this movie is like being on a phone conversation with my mom, where every 10 minutes she goes, well, I should let you go. Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to tell you.
We're trying to say goodbye to you. It's been
been
passed down to the Kalen gene.
It runs in my family that I do long goodbyes, much like the film The Long Goodbye, based on the novel.
Starring Elliot Kalen. Rated R.
Is playing at...
Nowhere.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
You're Hold dead. On. You're dead, Elliot.
So thanks what? For all this time I've been a ghost. A ghost.
Thanks for making keeping it real and reminding us that Elliot takes a long time to say goodbye, Dan. Now.
So anyway.
Let's get back to this podcast.
Okay, everybody's thinking it. Nobody's saying it.
Here's the thing about this movie. This movie does feel like a one-hour sci-fi show. If this movie was a Sci-Fi Channel original movie, I would have been like, that was a really good Sci-Fi Channel original movie. Like,
so much better than Wyvern or Two-Headed Shark Attack.
Or
I don't know if that's
right. Manticore versus Monster Box. I don't know what they do.
Chupacabra goes to camp, whatever. Yeah,
it's a very Bigfoot Christmas. Like aliens versus toadstools, whatever they do on Sci-Fi Channel. Whatever. Yeah. You know, Basilisk meets Super Mario Brothers.
Slightly larger than normal monkey.
Versus Manhole. Yeah. What is it, like Rottweiler attacks Plunger? I don't know how Sci-Fi Channel comes up with all these great ideas.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like Hercules versus Sinbad in the Age of the Pharaohs.
Okay, so all those ideas are copyrighted by Caleb.
Toddlers v. Spiders. That's a legal case. That's why I said V. The toddlers sue the spiders. For copyright infringement.
Courtroom drama, USA, character.
But one of the lawyers is a griffin.
Oh, okay, so it's sci-fi.
And the other lawyer is an Esquimax.
Okay. So
something about it, this is on the Sci-Fi Channel.
So, but this feels like,
good.
If this was a Sci-Fi Channel original movie, I would have said it was snappy. Like, there was a lot of fakey computer effects, but they did them in a silly way.
They did good enough for a Sci-Fi Channel.
Good enough. This is good enough for a Sci-Fi Channel original movie. For a feature film, not exactly. I will say, like, again, if this had been an original idea, and we hadn't seen this stuff over and over again the past 8 years or so, I would have been like, that was a really imaginative, like, fun movie. But instead, it feels very derivative.
It feels like we're watching somebody's D&D adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that we are already in The Final Judgment. We've got to move along.
But do we? Are there
and any? I'll say that is a bad, bad movie from you.
I don't know. Because I kind of, there was stuff I really enjoyed
in
it.
Tough.
I would say, you know what? I would say begrudgingly that it's a movie I kind of liked, but it's a qualified kind of liked. Because it's, if I was in the vacuum of space.
All right.
Okay.
I had no knowledge of anything in movies or anything ever in anything.
You're like an Encino Man.
Exactly. I'm a tabula rasa, whereas it's also known as an Encino Man. And let's say, as the Greeks would say it, an Encino Man.
You're a Brendan Fraser rasa.
Yeah, I'm a Rasta Brendan Fraser, smoking pot, worshipping Haile Selassie.
Yeah.
You know, been in Babylon too long, time to get back to the home country. Zion is waiting for me, Brendan Fraser. You know, listening to my Bob Marley albums,
all right.
Brendan Fraser, again, Rasta Brendan Fraser.
Sure.
Thank you for restating the premise.
If I was coming at this totally new, I think I would have liked it a lot. If I was like a 12-year-old watching this now and I was not aware of something like Army of Darkness, I think I'd really like it a lot. It's like just...
You probably would have been mad that you weren't watching Pacific Rim, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. But it's like it moves really fast. It's short. It's got, I shouldn't have started with those, but like, it's got plenty of bloody scenes. The characters are charismatic, at least. You know, like, the actors in it are fun to watch. It's like a half-baked, secondhand idea, but it's not, I wasn't bored or in pain. It's not like Marmaduke, where I wanted to take a spike
Claw
and just shove it through my
out.
Ears. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I
wanted to pull a Sam Neill in Event Horizon and just pull my eyes out and kill Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, what I want to say about this movie is it has a lot of things I like. It has Jeremy Renner.
Uh-huh.
It has Peter Stormare. It has Famke Janssen.
I like that Gamma Appleby, too.
Yeah, Jim and the Holograms is a very attractive lady.
I like the Troll Man.
You love the Troll Man. Every time the Troll Man was on screen, Stuart would go, yes.
There's a naked lady.
I like you keep comparing him to Snake Man from Joan Hex.
Yeah, who's Snake not even Man, a, Michael yeah. Rooker.
Snake Man wasn't even a character. He was just in one scene monster.
There's some action scenes that are derivative of Sam Raimi.
Like, the whole movie is derivative of
it
Sam
is,
Raimi.
I would say it's a very marginal movie I kind of liked. There's some very bad stuff in it. There's some boring derivative stuff. But at the same time, it moves so quickly and has so many elements that I kind of enjoy.
Yeah, and I was even able to overcome my hatred of steampunk weaponry in medieval settings.
Yeah, I mean,
although there was a little too much of that. It's like they had a collapsible folding gun that, like, nobody has that.
Yeah, that they showed in detail in the credit sequence. Punisher's armory sort of thing.
In the closing ending credits, it's just CGI close-ups of the different weapons.
Yeah, like you're selecting which weapon you're going to use in an Xbox game or something.
Yeah, that's true.
No, you're right. It's not a good bad movie because it's not like so bad it's fun. It's not really that good, but it's better than a... So maybe I'm just biased because we saw so many terrible things.
Yeah, I think it's better than a lot of the crap that we've watched.
Yeah, it may have some advantage from coming right after Marmaduke, but...
Yeah, but I would say, let's say it comes up on TV or you see it on Netflix streaming, just watch Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you have...
It's funny, though, you brought up the Army of Darkness thing, though, but, like, these directors saw it when they were kids and they're trying to emulate it, but it was such a huge flop, like... They're not improving on the Army of Darkness. Like, it's not like the world is ready for Army of Darkness now. Except like, if it came out in theaters now, it wouldn't do well.
I don't know that, because apparently a lot of these types of movies are doing well enough. I mean, like, I look at, according to Wikipedia, this movie made, you know, like, $200-something million worldwide, you know, which is, for a movie this size, is really good.
Hansel and Gretel 2? What's it going to be? More witches?
It's going to be vampires, but the vampires are just basically witches.
Okay.
It's going to be called Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter Vampire Hunters. They hunt vampire hunters who are witches. It turns out there's a war between the vampires and the witches.
Okay.
The vampires are out hunting, the witches are out hunting vampires, but Hansel and Gretel are hunting the witch. Now, did that mean they team up with the vampires? Because vampires are still pretty bad, but maybe they can find common cause. That sets it up.
What's going on?
But then it ends on to be continued, and then you get Hansel and Gretel and aliens.
Now I'm listening.
Aliens have landed in medieval times. Maybe that's where they got all their weaponry from. An alien spaceship they found. Look, Iron Man 3 didn't use the Mandarin finding that spaceship with the magic rings in it. Hansel and Gretel, steal that shit. Just use it in your movie.
I mean, they shot the scene.
What, where he finds the spaceship?
Yeah, right.
I don't think they did.
Oh, they didn't?
No, it's not in the movie.
Okay. Well, I thought they shot it anyway, because that's what the character does in the comics, right?
No, they don't shoot everything in the comics and then decide they don't want to do it.
All right, well, I don't want to cut off this rich vein.
Anyway, Hansel and Gretel
discussion.
Fight hey, aliens. Hey. Just don't make fun of our stupid rant as being a rich vein.
That sets it up for number 4, Hansel and Gretel versus Hansel and Gretel. They fall through a portal to an alternate world.
A porthole.
Where everybody is witches and humans are evil.
I'm not trying to cut it short because I'm a dick. I'm trying to cut it short.
You didn't even
let
me get to Hansel and Gretel 5 in the Time of the Dinosaurs.
I'm trying to cut it short because there's letters. And
there's no porthole, though.
We've talked much longer than we normally do.
Because this is far in the future where there's dinosaurs.
No, it's in the past, but they're dinosaur witches.
They're dinosaur space cowboys.
Yes, who are witches.
Oh, I'm super loud.
I'm trying to keep us on track because there are letters which we want to get to.
All right.
Wait,
what do the letters arrive in?
A mailbag? The Flophouse movie mailbag?
Sorry.
A movie mailbag. A bag for mail. Mail about movies for us?
Okay.
Us? A mailbag of movies. A movie mailbag. The Flophouse movie mailbag.
That we're running
behind. But what did it look like? A burlap sack or a plastic thing? Perhaps with a drawstring? What does this mailbag look like? A trick-or-treat bag?
He said
a
mailbag.
Pillowcase? He did.
Look, when you're making up a song... As you go along, it's a little hard to keep the words straight.
No, all right. So this first
flop ass letter movie mailbag
is titled. The first letter is titled "To the Original Peaches in the Original Big Apple." I was listening.
Is there another Big Apple?
Take that, small apples.
I was listening to the Seeking Justice.
Like Manhattan, Kansas. The other one.
I was listening to the Seeking Justice episode to celebrate Quarter Cagemas. In it, you described a scene where Nicolas Cage is given ridiculous instructions at a monster truck rally.
Yep.
None of you can remember the name of the stadium, and that is the Superdome, one of the most famous stadiums on Earth.
Famous indeed.
Again.
Quite famous.
Again, I would not like to become Elliot's new brother unless he would give me an Emmy for Christmas/Hanukkah, but this is a fairly major lapse in sports-related
why
judgment.
Why are we celebrating both?
I hope this letter is taken completely seriously and results in almost no mockery. Sincerely, Brennan, last name unpronounceable. P.S. I was just in New York over the weekend and saw Matilda in previews. It was one of the best things I've ever seen. I know Elliot has talked about loving Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yep.
So I was wondering if this week's recommendations could be your favorite musicals. So the fact that he saw Matilda in previews shows how old this.
Well, last episode means
previews the comic book ordering catalog, right?
Yep, from Diamond Distributors. Yeah. Now, okay.
You mean sneak previews, the long defunct PBS.
I meant that.
Yeah. Now, two things. I did recommend a musical in the last episode. So let's just carry that one over. The musical I recommended was Dames. And the other thing I was going to say was, of course I'm not going to recognize, what was it, the Power Dome? The Technodrome? Thunderdome? I don't know what stadiums look like.
Which one's the one where Krang hides out in?
That's the Technodrome.
Okay.
Now, look, if it's not the Roman Colosseum or...
What?
Like Biosphere 2, I'm not going to recognize any domed structures.
Yeah.
Or the Capitol building, you know.
I mean, when it comes to musicals, you know, I you can't go wrong with Singing in the Rain, obviously.
Of course you can. It's the best musical ever made.
I have a lot of fondness for The Music Man. I think Robert Preston's performance in that is very funny.
Music Man's great.
West Side Story is a very nice filmed musical. My Fair Lady has some.
You're really going out on a limb.
I mean, well, what do you want?
He's just listed every musical he's ever seen.
Little Shop of Horrors is a great, more recent musical. I don't know what you want from me. Like
for a musical, I'll recommend the album Traveler by the band Lord Weird Slough Fegg. There you go. That's a heavy metal rock opera, dude.
But it is a concept album, basically.
It's a story about a space pirate turned into a man dog.
If I was gonna recommend another musical, I'd recommend Top Hat.
Sure. You know what else is good? Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. But
that's not a movie.
Yeah.
That's a musical number in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, the Howard Hawks film, is a lot of fun.
It is. It has a great line. I will spoil it, but my favorite line in that movie is Marilyn Monroe and, was it Jane Mansfield?
Yeah.
Are on a cruise ship. They're looking for rich men to marry.
Yeah.
And they're sitting on either side of a kid at dinner. Because it's a cruise ship, you have assigned seats, and he's looking at them, and they go, "How old are you?" And he says, "Old enough to appreciate a fine-looking woman." This kid's like 8. Anyway, it's a funny scene.
I tried to watch recently How to Marry a Millionaire, the other movie where Marilyn Monroe plays a unrepentant gold digger, and it is no Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes is a very good movie, and How to Marry a Millionaire is kind of dull. So,
and I guess
anti-recommendation.
Consider that a negadation.
That's better than mine.
The next letter is titled Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. And
it starts, Dad's favorite book series.
I shudder to think how much longer I would have been unaware of your podcast if Uncle John had taken up a place in my bathroom library. My Bathbury? Thankfully, Entertainment Weekly is my go-to
bathroom
literature. Entertainment Weekly is my go-to literature. And upon seeing a recommendation in the must list, I added your podcast immediately. Yes, I washed my hands first. I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's your magazine. I don't care. Wipe yourself with it.
You Grey's Anatomy or he.
or Top she. Of the Lake.
You watched Bates Motel. Come on.
Top of the Lake to ya.
On to the question.
Where do you say that?
What?
Where would you say that?
Like at I don't know.
At a lake.
A fancy dinner?
Like if you're at an Irish
fancy lake.
Fancy dinner. Yep. Because that's how you greet people at a banquet.
There's questions. On to the questions.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast after reading about it, and I apologize for this episode.
Number one.
We're tired.
Dan, what drink do you choose to help you get through the movies? I prefer craft beers like Flying Monkeys, Smash Bomb, but for B-movies, cheap brews like Pabst Blue Ribbon or Tall Boys of Old Milwaukee
and
Keystone Light.
You know what beer ghosts drink?
Seem like a better fit.
Hey, Dan, you know what beer ghosts drink?
What?
Pabst Boo Ribbon. I read that one in a joke book for kids called 100 Creepy Hipster Jokes.
100 Alcoholic Drinks for Kids. Drinks for Kids, Jokes for Kids.
I'm glad they kept it only 100. Real chat book size.
100 Creepy Hipster Jokes also includes, what was the Wolfman's favorite band?
What?
Were Weezer. Hey, take it up with the authors of 100 creepy hipster jokes.
I don't. It's not that creepy.
It involves a monster.
All right.
So, if you can buy it at what, like H&M or
Spencer's
American
Gifts.
Apparel? Yeah, it's at the American Apparel book rack.
Yep, right next to, I guess, like a picture book of half naked teenage girls.
Yeah, right next to a magazine made up of creepy pictures of employees of American Apparel. That all look like last known photos.
So thank you guys for answering my question. No.
So he read about us in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. He wants to know what drinks to drink while you're...
Yeah, what do you drink?
What do you drink, Dan?
Look. I like a...
Spaghetti sauce? just out of a mug?
Sure. I like a pale ale, an India pale ale. I'm quite fond. I think my favorite might be Green Flash. Now, I will say that I think that the hophead craze has gone too far.
You're putting your foot down?
Yeah, some beers have gotten too syrupy and strong. For a nice refreshing beer, thanks to Stuart Wellington being a bartender at a nice German beer garden, I've come to be quite fond of Einbecker Pilsner as a nice light beer for the summer.
Well, this has been the Ale House.
No, there's questions for you guys, too.
Oh, okay.
Number two.
But they better not be about movies, because you got to talk about beer. Mine better be about dinosaurs or something.
Elliot.
What's your favorite dinosaur? Well, Deinonychus, of course.
Elliot, if there was one comic book storyline you had to turn into a bad movie, which one would it be? The Punisher meets Archie?
That would be a good movie. It's a funny comic.
Turn into a bad movie.
That's a good question. I think, even though it's a good storyline in the comics, I think when Thor got turned into a frog by Loki, it's maybe the jewel in the crown of Walt Simonson's run on Thor, along with the introduction of Beta Ray Bill, the horse-faced alien. But I think it would make a pretty good bad movie. I don't think the image of a giant frog wearing Thor's costume would translate to film.
Okay.
Even though it works very well in comics.
Fair enough. Number three, Stuart.
Okay.
I'm part of a B-movie club that regularly screens horrible movies, including Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Time, Barbarian, Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman, Hard Rock Zombies, and about 4 dozen more titles. I wanted to get your recommendations on which movies to screen other than Invisible Maniac, Castle Freak, and Head of the Family.
Oh. Okay, so...
It's like taking Picasso's paints away from him.
Wait a minute. Wait, can I say Invisible Maniac?
No, yeah, it's expressly forbidden.
Can I say Night of the Demons?
You can.
Oh, wow, okay. Wait.
It's a bad movie? I feel like you've sung that movie's praises.
Yeah, but I mean, I like it because it's a good bad horror movie.
All right.
I mean, I'm not going to, like, it's not going to win Oscars. You're not going to see a Criterion Collection of...
You never know.
...of Night of the Demons.
I mean, there is a moment where...
Lena Quigley sticks
her lipstick into her boob, right?
Yeah, and then you get to see her vagina later.
Sure.
I mean, you know, the...
You know what? Just say Doll Man versus Demonic Toys.
Yeah, I'll say Doll Man. Starring Tim Thomerson.
All right.
Where he's got a gun that explodes people.
It's a tiny alien cop. Well, they should have called it Tiny Alien Cop, the movie.
Well, no, he's like a doll. That's why they call him Doll Man.
But he's not a doll.
He's and
a
he blows doll. Up a bunch of New Everyone York likes scumbags. Him.
So that was from Sheldon, Last Name Withheld. I hope that helped you,
Sheldon.
Did I
give him a clear answer?
You did.
I didn't say some dinosaur name, right? I said a movie name.
Yeah.
It's true. You said a...
Carnosaur. Watch Carnosaur.
That's about the movie and a dinosaur.
So this next letter is from Per, Last Name Withheld.
Per?
P-E-R. I don't know how one would...
I thought a cat had written us a letter.
First of all, I assume Elliot already sung an intro to the mailbag segment.
Well, I tried to, but Dan cut me off. But it reminds me, mailbag, are we sure it's a bag? Could it be a mail crate or a box of some kind?
We're running
mailbox?
So late on this podcast.
A mailbox. Maybe it's a box full of mail.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. So, a quick ending.
All right. He says, I'm a Flop fan from Sweden who has recently found your podcast via TV Tropes. I have enjoyed it immensely and will do the best
mentioned on TV
to spread the gospel of the Flop House here in Sweden. Now for the meat of the letter.
Thank you very much for spreading the gospel in
Sweden.
So
that was like the bread part of the letter?
Yeah, that was the bread. And then I assume that his name at the end of it is the other slice of bread.
Or maybe cheese. I don't know what they eat in Sweden.
You think Swedish fish.
It's an open-face sandwich in Sweden?
Upside-down open-face sandwich,
the cheese
clearly,
at the end of it?
It's from Sweden. The meat is a meatball. And what we just read was the lingonberry sauce.
All right. Well, here's the meatball, guys. One of you briefly mentioned the hypothetical possibility of a Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure video game.
Uh-oh.
It was, I think, in the Priest episode. This, I feel, would make for an excellent tangent at some point. There's so many questions that need to be answered. If the player, for instance, loses the bikini, will the effect be similar to that of the star in Super Mario World? This and other questions need an answer.
I like that. So. If your top falls off in the game, you're invincible for a little bit. But then, yeah. Of course, the Indian returns your top, as in the Great Bikini
Willie Tall Salt, yeah.
As in the Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure.
Yeah, is there a mini game where you get to play as... No, that's too powerful. You can't play as Willie Tall Salt?
No. He just shows up and gives you advice on how to play the game.
Yeah, that's being Willie Tall Salt's like being the player in Sim City, where you're constructing the world and seeing the gears that turn it.
Well, he's basically a god figure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's the watcher.
No, God watches even the lowliest sparrow fall and the lowliest bikini top fall off.
I imagine the cutscenes would just be just like cutscenes of topless lady. Like that is what like as in bikini in movies. Game?
To be honest, I don't remember why they're running those bikini tours in the Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure. Most of the movie is just girls in bikinis.
Seems to make a lot of sense to me. you heard the title of the movie, right?
Most of the movie is just girls in bikinis leading tours of southwestern locations.
Well, guys,
and then taking their tops off.
Yeah, guys. It's they're great at it.
Guys, I'll be honest. I mainly read that last email to lead into this actual letter.
Well, but Dan, that's a piece of lined paper in your hand.
Yeah. It starts, "Dear Dan, this is from Cassandra, last name withheld. I decided to include this handwritten letter because, well, I've always thought
fun.
There
it
was...
slipped in your locker?
Do you like me? Check yes or no.
I've always thought there was something nice about receiving letters written by hand.
That's true.
Also, should you choose to read this letter on your show, you can always put it in a bag labeled the Flophouse Movie Mailbag, then take it out of said bag, and for the first time ever, be able to say you are actually reading an actual letter from an actual, albeit homemade, mailbag. Anyway, here it is. Your holy grail, a DVD copy of The Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure. I hope it works and brings you lots of joy and pleasure." That's right. A fan.
The best fan ever. Our number one fan now.
Yeah, I think that Cassandra is, in fact, our number one fan.
Well, okay. You heard it here first,
so by
folks.
Making that statement, people are going to throw themselves off of buildings, like when Jackie Chan had a love interest in one of his movies.
I don't
two
care. I mean,
themselves.
Like, look, the truth can't be held back. Stuart.
Look. All we can say is if you want to be the number one fan, you have to do something at the level of or better than sending Dan a copy of The Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure on DVD. Right. While we're
Which
looking at it right now.
Which he clutches in his hand.
It's beautiful! melting. Oh, don't look at it, Marion! Don't look at it! Keep your eyes closed!
Cassandra, I believe, I remember from previous email exchanges, she... came across a VHS copy,
and Dan's gonna come across it later.
Off-road adventure.
I don't even think all the girls on the cover are in the movie.
Classic VHS maneuver.
She was nice enough to transfer the movie from VHS to DVD, print out a cover of the Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure sleeve, and send it. To us.
Elliot, you probably know this. What are the conditions for sainthood?
You have to perform two miracles. This counts
okay,
as
that's
one.
This, one.
This counts as one, certainly. And then I think you have to be canonized by the Catholic Church.
That's probably pretty easy. I mean, if you can turn a VHS tape into a little circular pizza-shaped disc.
Wait, does that count?
I like
as you
said circular and pizza-shaped.
Well, because pizzas always have a hole in the middle, right?
No. Oh,
but where are you going to see your Johnson?
Forgot your pizzas too.
Oh man!
Allow me the liberty of reading the back of the Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure. With business so slow, Duke Abbey almost loses his Jeep tour company to the local mining company for back rent. Use the word company twice in one sentence. With the help of his luscious niece Lori and some of her bodacious bikini-clad friends, Duke's business makes a U-turn. I don't know why you do a driving pun instead of a boob pun. As they drive the local men wild while showing them some of the hottest sights in the desert, their sweat
Those
turns
boobs,
to
right?
wet. What? As a broken down Jeep forces the girls to take
their sweat
curves
turns to wet?
Down the river, where sunscreen's a must, but bikinis are optional. The girls raise the money while showing the locals that the view's always better with the top down. Starring Lauren Hayes, Meatballs 4, Avalon Anders, Bikini Summer 2, Dan Frank, Turk 182. And it says, sizzling comedy, perfect for summer rentals. It's from 1984, from the director of Bikini Car Wash 2, it says.
Now, I've had this, I gotta say, guys, I've had this in my possession for a couple days. I have not watched it. I feel like we need to
pop
watch
that
it
fucking thing in right now.
Yeah, look, I don't care what time it is. We're watching all 90 minutes of this. Rated
just,
R.
Let me just text Elliot's wife, tell her not to wait up.
Tell her exactly why.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Elliot is embarking on an adventure.
Elliot's embarking on an erotic adventure unparalleled. I've seen this movie already before. I don't know why I'm acting like I've never seen it before.
I think I'm the only one of the three.
Of the three of us, you're the only one who has not seen the majesty that is.
Oh my God, it's full of stars, etc.
Did I ever tell you guys the story about, very quickly, I did some freelance work once transcribing a lot of interviews and behind-the-scenes footage for a thing about the making of Dazed and Confused, and the guy who plays Wiley in Dazed and Confused in a then-contemporary interview was talking about how he went to, he was working in Hollywood, and he started having to work in this production house that was really crappy, and he's like, and the guy there had this movie he directed, and he had the poster up on the wall. It was so stupid, The Great Bikini Off-Road Adventure, and I mean, it was like, I've seen that movie!
Yeah, you would have been properly starstruck.
Yeah, I would have, oh my God, you directed that?
Mm-hmm. Tell me tales of it.
Tell me tales of Willie Tallsalt. How did you make the boobs fall off? Was it fishing wire or?
First off, don't say anything about boobs falling off. That sounds horrible.
Sorry. I meant the tops fall off. Yeah, that would be horrible. That'd be the Great Bikini Leprosy Adventure.
Not as popular for some reason.
No, very unpopular.
So okay,
should we do quick recommendations?
Yeah, very quick recommendations of movies that we've seen that we actually liked. Even though we all kind of liked Hansel and Gretel, but I think we can do better.
I think there's definitely better movies than Hansel and Gretel.
Stuart,
yeah.
What's a movie that you want to recommend?
I'm going to recommend another movie starring Peter Stormare, The Last Stand, starring an aging Arnold Schwarzenegger, directed by the director of I Saw the Devil. I don't remember his name.
And he directed The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, too.
Yes.
I wish that the movie posters had said, An aging Arnold Schwarzenegger. That'd be great.
But no, I mean, they really kind of pitched the movie, and it did not do well. I believe it was a flop. And I think part of the problem was they really pitched the like Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Johnny Knoxville element, and I think they kind of play both those guys down. It ends up being a pretty good modern day Western with a lot of great action and gore effects, and the bad guys played by the Spanish actor who played Jacinto in The Devil's Backbone, the bad guy in that movie.
Oh.
So yeah, I recommend
indie cred.
if you're looking for like a good old fashioned action movie, I'd recommend it.
I had the pleasure of seeing recently Lawrence of Arabia on the big screen.
Oh, taking a stand here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, real controversial stand. Lawrence of Arabia equals good. But I had only seen it about 20 years ago on like a VHS copy, I think in like a school like social studies class, where I liked it. But like obviously that's not the way to see Lawrence of Arabia.
It's not what David Lean intended.
And no. I saw a restored...
He hated social studies.
I saw a restored print of it at BAM here in Brooklyn. I think it was a digital print, which I didn't love, but whatever. And it's just it's an amazing
fantasy
movie.
World people problems, you know.
before the intermission, it's kind of an amazing adventure movie. Like you see this, like it's kind of a Middle Eastern Western, and you see the seeds of like adventure movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then after the intermission, it's really a portrait of kind of political disillusionment as Lawrence is unable to kind of give Arabia back to the people the way he wants to. It's a beautiful movie to see on the big screen. Like you can't really appreciate it seeing it at home, unfortunately. So I guess I'm recommending.
I think you can appreciate it.
You can
it
appreciate
just isn't
it.
As full. It isn't yeah. the same experience.
But I'm recommending, unfortunately, experience that not everyone necessarily can have.
And that was on their new screen with like the really good sound system.
Yeah,
the one we saw. Only God Forgives that.
Very similar movies.
But also, I want to say, like, before I saw...
I think one is literally a third as long as the other one.
Before I went to see Lawrence of Arabia, I went out to have drinks celebrating our mutual friend's Kurt's birthday. So I had
so
like
you're promoting recommending that?
No, like birthdays.
My
have
point,
one.
My point is like I ended up having like 3 or 4 pints of beer before seeing this 3-hour and 40-minute long movie, and I think it's to the movie's credit
you're saying you
that might. I neither fell asleep nor had to pee at any point other than the intermission.
What you're saying is you wet yourself and didn't realize it until the movie was over.
Yes. I soiled myself.
But it was worth it for David Lean's vision.
Yeah. Elliot, what do you have to recommend?
I think, well, I wanted to recommend like a fantasy adventure movie that was better than Hansel and Gretel, There is none. It's the tops. We talked about Army of Darkness earlier, but I think instead I'll recommend a comedy action movie that I liked a lot more, and that would be Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen and Monica Bellucci and Paul Giamatti, a movie that felt really fresh to me when it came out because it was maybe the goofiest action movie I'd remember seeing. It's basically like if Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd were in an action movie in a lot of ways.
I think it was during a time where a lot of action movies were being grimdark.
Were being super grim and serious, yeah. And now action movies are all kind of tongue-in-cheek, and this one manages to be goofy and parodizing action movie stuff without being so tongue-in-cheek that it becomes irritating. And they really took advantage of the concept of a man who can do anything with guns. And I enjoy it a lot. It's a live-action cartoon, you know?
A Clive action cartoon.
Yeah, it is a Clive action cartoon. How would Clive Owen describe it?
What are you trying to do?
Like, if he were here right now, what do you think he would say?
I don't know what you mean. Hello, it's me. Hello, it's Clive Owen.
So
that's how he would describe the movie, is just saying, yeah, hello, it's me.
He would greet us and then
look,
announce who
I
he was.
I cannot control what happens when the spirit enters me.
When you channel the essence of Clive Owen.
So 3 recommendations, totally equal in stature. The Last Stand, Shoot 'Em Up, and Lawrence of Arabia.
Very similar.
Jeez, sorry, Mr. Pretentious Pants, that we didn't all recommend David Lean movies. Fine, I'll recommend Brief Encounter again. There you go, done.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
This happy breed.
Sure. So, guys, it's been fun.
Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death. It has been fun.
Yeah, so we just wrap this up and put in the movie?
We wrap it up and we take an adventure.
We take an off-road adventure. A bikini off-road adventure. Nay, a great bikini off-road adventure. I wish.
Hey guys, I've been Stuart Wellington.
I wish this could have been reviewed in theaters so that some snooty reviewer could have said, "Great bikini off road adventure." It is hardly a passable bikini off road adventure.
Stuart Wellington has already said his name, so I will say that I am Dan McCoy,
and I think I'm Elliot Kalin.
Probably.
Good night, everyone.
I mean, I look like him.
Yeah.
So bikinis.
You sound like him. Irritating.
Hey, wait a minute.
Jeff Smith, who from his comic books, I'm assuming is the most masculine dude in the world.
He's kind of a teddy bear. I don't know. You read Wrestle.
Yeah. That's an oddly shaped human being.
You got some nude ladies in there. And
with their enormous heads and tiny bodies.
Yep.
Because he's still basically a cartoonist at heart.
Yeah, it's like Walt Kelly drawing naked ladies.
I'm sure Walt Kelly at some point drew a naked lady.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Having sex with a possum.
Sure. He's got to pay the bills somehow.
Yeah. It was part of his underground book, I Do Pogo.
That's right. He drew it at Comic-Con. There was someone who demanded that...
My sketchbook's theme is...
Having sex with a busty lady? Sure, whatever.
My sketchbook is your most popular character having sex with a busty lady.
Okay.
Wow, really? All these people did
this? It's all Frank Cho stuff. Weird.